Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
This morning, Scott will be leading us in worship, Dave will be speaking to us, and we have another real life, real story.
Wherever you're at with God this morning, we pray that you will get closer to him.
I think quite a few of us have been having bad hair days recently. Well, perhaps not Scott. But the hairdressers closed down, what, 3 months ago now, and it is beginning to show. But while some people, to look in the mirror is their friend, but to many of us, the image that we see before us is not someone we're terribly keen to be meeting. But you know, God is so proud of everyone in his creation. He delights in the image that he sees when he looks at you. And moreover, he delights when we spend time with him. And this morning, God is seeking to have that special time with you when he is the focus of all of your thoughts. So as we praise him and we pray together and we hear from him, he wants to be cutting right into the very depth of our being. So if this is your first time that you've joined us at Go Live Sunday, or whether you're a seasoned regular, welcome. And we just pray that you are blessed as being a part of our time with God this morning. But before we start, I'd just like to pause for a moment, if I may, and just reflect a little on the last 15 weeks. It's been 15 weeks now that we've been in this lockdown situation. And during that time, we've had the Welton at Home team doing so much to just give people a little hand where they need it, a little bit of help when they've been struggling because of the situation. We've had many people working on these Go Live services, doing the video production, doing the presenting, doing the messages and the worship. And we've got the Enfest at Home team and Disco Dave as well, and that's something to behold. The elders and the deacons and the safeguarding team and many others have been working so hard in the background as well, unseen, but listening to God and planning for our future, intentionally looking at where we move next, both practically but also safely, to make sure that we move forward in the way that God is calling us to do that. Now, as a nation, we quite rightly celebrated our key workers, our NHS. But I think that as a church, we too should be celebrating our key workers, these people who have been tirelessly working in the background to keep the church moving forward, listening to God and being intentional in doing all that. So thank you guys for that. But as I say, the business of church continues. And it's, we don't continue under the circumstances, but we're seeking God to reveal these new directions and new opportunities for us to move forward as church. Now, we have a members' vision night on the 9th of July, and I'd urge you to try and zoom in on that meeting if you can, when we'll be talking more about this, and the leadership are going to just share some of the things, the areas that they believe God is leading us into. But as we move forward, it's crucial, isn't it, that we retain that close attention to detail. That as we move forward, we do things well in a God-honouring way. And we have an amazing group of people, the safeguarding team, who are there to look out for us. They look out to make sure that we all do church safely, and that as a fellowship, we care for both young, old, the vulnerable and everybody. And Carly is just going to give a share just for a moment, a few things about that team. So over to you, Carly.
Hi, I'm Carly, and along with Matt Coombs and Judith Parr, I'm part of the safeguarding team at our church. While church gatherings look a little different at the moment, whether Sundays, house groups, children and youth to name a few, we wanted to reassure everyone, whether you've been at Welton 100 years or today's your first visit online, we're a church family that works together to ensure the safety and well-being of every individual. We all have a part to play in ensuring that everyone in our church community is safe and cared for. Whether we're in lockdown or back to normal, the Baptist Union of Great Britain say that when it comes to each other's safety, we need to listen, observe and pass it on. So if you're worried about anyone in our church family, you can call myself, Matt or Judith to do just that. We recognise that every person is precious in the eyes of God. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people.
Hi everyone. I'd like to share something that happened to me not so long ago. For a while now, I'd been thinking of moving on from my current place of work. So one day I had this discussion with my brother and he advised me to seek God and hear what God says about this. So my brother then encouraged me to be patient because I didn't know what God had in store for me. So we went on to have a general discussion about fasting. So I took his advice and decided to fast for a couple of days to hear what God was saying about my situation. And guess what? During the fast, I didn't hear anything from God, nothing, no word. I didn't receive any word of knowledge. I didn't have a picture, nothing. I didn't hear anything. That was a little bit discouraging, but I tried to be patient and I tried to continue trusting God in the whole situation. So a week later, I went to work for a morning shift and my ward manager asked if she could see me in her office. So we went into her office and she shut the door behind us and then she started smiling. And I just didn't know what was going on. And then she informed me that she was leaving her current position as ward manager and she found a new job to run a new ward, which is going to start running in September. And then following that, she also said that she had decided to elevate two staff nurses to a charge nurse position just to help out with the current management team because we wouldn't have a ward manager for a while until they find a replacement for her. So then she said I was one of the staff nurses that she wanted to elevate to that position. And then she urged me to apply for the position when the vacancies came out. So I just wanted to share this story just to encourage others as well who may be in a similar situation to me. And I thank God for his grace and this opportunity as well. And I'd like to encourage people that even if you don't hear from God when you're praying for something, do not lose hope, because we don't know what God will be doing behind the scenes or what he'll be putting in place for you behind the scenes. I didn't hear from God when I expected him to communicate with me. However, I trusted that he was going to do so in his own time. Although it was difficult to maintain my patience at times. So I just wanted to encourage everyone that God hears prayers and he does respond in his own time.
Last week we concluded a series on mystery and warfare, and this week Dave is segueing into a study in Psalms that kind of caps off and concludes that study. Over the past few weeks we've been reminded The spiritual warfare is real, and it affects all of us, even if sometimes we're not fully aware of it. The enemy is always there chipping away, and we need to understand his tactics. Not that we should focus in or elevate him, but understand where he's coming from. As Scott said last week, we should interpret our circumstances through the lens of God's purposes. And I think there has been this common theme that has been running through the last few weeks, that we're being fed a lie, fake news, as they would say now. That the enemy is trying to put in a voice into our head to say one thing that is completely the opposite of what is the truth. It is that same critical voice you hear perhaps when you look in the mirror, because it's a lie. In John 8:31 it says this, "So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Knowing the truth comes through knowing God. And Dave this morning is going to be sharing this message from Psalms, looking at how our relationship with God works irrespective of the season. Wherever we might be, we still have that connection with God, and he wants to speak into our lives and connect with us and grow us and move us and change us. So before we hand over to Dave, let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you that you want to engage with us. And we pray that this morning that you'll open up our minds, speak over those critical voices that we hear, and speak life into us. Break down the barriers of our own preconceptions and replace them with your truth, that we may be welcomed, that we know that we are welcomed into your presence and whatever the season. And Lord, we pray that this morning we will be set free, free indeed, in Jesus' name. Dave.
I don't know about you, but the more time that I spend in quarantine, the more raw and human I feel. I think any veneer of pretending to be the best version of myself or patience that I have with general life seems to have been somewhat diminished. You see, I love being around other people. I love their stories, their joys, walking through problems and failures together. I like conversation. I like the visceral nature of life. But this Zoom, Facebook, phone calls, social distance stuff, it's starting to niggle away at that. But don't get me wrong, I know it could be a lot worse, but here is me just being honest. I don't like it that much. Interestingly, as I say that to you, I feel two things. One is the one where I worry about your perception of me and what you think of me. Maybe you think I'm resilient, stoic and strong, and are disappointed at my lack of integrity and grit. I doubt this, by the way, but there's part of me that really hopes that that's the case. The other is far more liberating, I suppose. And it's just being honest and just getting it out there. Here, this is what I am. For better, for worse, right here, right now, this is my current state. You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. Now, this is a fair chunk of the Old Testament, and it's very deliberate in its placement and its point. Firstly, by the time you get to the Psalms, we've covered a lot of history. Good and bad has happened, people have been enslaved and liberated, love's been found and lost, relationships and alliances have been formed, promises kept and broken, and God has shown a whole bunch about his character all the way through. The Psalms then come along with all of that history and experience, and they invite us into the depth of us as human beings connecting with God. And let me explain what I mean by that. If I ask you questions about the job that you just got after an interview, I'm betting you would sound confident and forthright. Or what about after you just passed your exams? I bet you would sound at ease and hopeful about what's next. What about, though, if I was to ask you questions about your future as your second parachute failed to open? Well, I bet all the money in my pockets, not only would your posture be different, but your answers would have a different tone and demeanour as well. The Psalms are designed to walk us through all of that. Maybe you can connect with a guy called Hemam the Ezrahite, when in Psalm 88 he says, "I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care." Or maybe you connect with this. King David, when he praises God in Psalm 145, he says, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." Or maybe you read about God's protection in Psalm 121. "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." You know, the fact of the matter is that this life has its ups and it has its downs. It is multifaceted and it is messy. And if we don't recognize life to be both, then we are disingenuous, I think, to ourselves, to those around us, and to God. When I was a teenager, I was introduced to a band called Nirvana, which some of you may know. And I was blown away by a couple of their singles that were released. I really hadn't heard anything like it. The sound was novel and it was gritty, and I found it absolutely compelling. And just like all good musics, I found people around me that felt the same way. And a mate of mine at college encouraged me to hear the whole album and not just the top 40 singles. "It will help you understand," he said. After track 5, I started to get a view of what he meant. The lead singer, Kurt Cobain, clearly had a lot of pain in his heart. He spoke primarily of darkness, drug use and despair. It was like somehow the whole story could not be just told in one or two songs. And Kurt's music was not because he was with the other members or because he would sell loads of records, but rather he somehow wanted to let us in to the very heart of who he was. In a slightly abstract way, I think there's a link between albums made by artists and the Book of Psalms. The Psalms are trying to capture the whole human experience. No sugarcoating, no lies. The Psalms invite us into ancient wisdom, ancient analysis and ancient humanity. They show us a poetic structure to describe this life with God, where the one moment you're confused, one moment you love him, or one moment where you are beyond furious. The Psalms are a springboard for where you can't find the words yourselves. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that often we use scripture in bite-sized segments. Now, don't get me wrong, the Psalms often have this done to them also. And we often take a verse here or there, and I would argue that's fine, but if we want to get the true and full experience of their beauty and complexity, we need to read more than just a few lines. Now, it's a common misconception that the Psalms were written by King David. Well, they kind of were, but only around half of them. The rest were written by David's worship leader, Asaph, also written by Solomon, David's son, and there were around 50 other people who many we don't even know the names of. A huge book without one clear author. Or maybe a more helpful way to frame it would be a huge book with lots of clear human beings. Whether you're a king or some bloke with a goat, the Book of Psalms tells us that our voice can be heard and that God is interested. Sally Petit put it well in one of our recent staff meetings, and I hope I got this right, Sally. She said, "Maybe we've lost the art of expressing how we feel about God in prayer because we mostly do it through our singing." You know, I think she's got a really good point here. Maybe the Psalms are asking us back into how we posture ourselves around prayer and praise, as well as how we approach God as a church, not just through worship songs. I remember a few years back, my wife Carly and I had the worst phone call. It was a phone call some of you received as well. Our friend Diane had been killed in a traffic accident in Chilcompton. Now, we were reeling in our loss. Everyone was in pain. The kids were in shock. It was horrible. And that evening, a church prayer time was called. And as I sat in a room full of people down at the chapel, there was this growing sense inside me that I could not pray like everybody else. You see, I was angry with God and I needed to tell him so. I didn't realise it at the time, but my prayer was a psalm. It was like a lamentation. And I can remember clearly shouting in that room that I was angry with God, but I wanted to trust him. You know, a couple of people came up to me afterwards and they thanked me for the words, because they felt like that was exactly what they were thinking, but they didn't feel like they could say it for some reason. The Psalms give us permission, not only for me, but for all of us to say things together that we are feeling and experiencing. You know, I still miss my friend Diane, and I've been forever grateful, however, for the words that God gave me that night, but he didn't judge me for, but he cried with me as well. The Psalms get even more helpful, though. Some Psalms tell their stories directly. Other Psalms are clearly written in the midst of another story. You know, Psalm 51 is written in the midst of David's sorrow over his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 56 is written when David was seized by the Philistines. Psalm 130 is written from the bottom of the pit, either spiritually or literally, and tells the anguish of a trapped man. Psalm 137 captures the psalmist by the rivers of Babylon, weeping in completely unresolved anger. And at the end of the psalm, he still has not fully dealt with his trouble. And it ends with him saying, "Happy is he who repays them for what they have done for us. Happy is he who takes their infants and dashes them against the rocks." It is not a barrel of laughs. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that while the rest of the Bible is God's word to us, the Psalms are words given by God to be said back to him. They weren't written as information, but they were written as prayers and as songs. God's intention in giving them to us was so that we could give them back to him as expressions of our own devotion and desires. Notice Psalm 118 from the English Standard Version. It says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns, and in the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I found a few helpful pointers on this the other day. This is the day that the Lord has made, the scripture says. Really? This day? The one with wars and poverty and divorce and addiction and betrayal? This day? Yeah, this one. This one because there's a difference between analysis and awareness. Analysis pulls things apart, looking for cracks in logic, points out the consistencies and the inconsistencies. Analysis needs to make things make sense. Now, there's nothing wrong with analysis, of course. It's often vital to our survival and thriving. But you know what? If we just stay there in that mode and that mode only, we can easily find ourselves stepping back with arms folded, pointing out that all that's wrong with this day and all the ways that it might fall short and of all the evidence of why this particular day doesn't appear to be the kind of day that God would make all the while this day passes us by. But in this psalm, the one that says that this is the day that the Lord has made, this psalm isn't first and foremost about analysis. It's about awareness. And the difference is massive, you know. Awareness doesn't ignore or gloss over the very real questions and pains of this day. It transcends all of that analysis with the very straightforward acknowledgement that whatever this day is, it's a gift to be embraced and engaged and maybe even enjoyed. Today might be rough and bloody and heartbreaking, brothers and sisters, but it's here and it's now. And you know what? It is actually bursting with untold potential and possibility. And our response to it, it has the most urgent and utmost importance. It's important to note that we might not understand, that we might not get another one. You know, life is very, very fragile. And so the writers are guiding us and reiterating to us where we may look away. His love endures forever. The repetition, the flow is deliberate and it's designed that way so that if we didn't hear it properly the first time, maybe we will on the second or third. Do you see how the Psalms guide us and take us and invite us into a new perspective? So telling the story of a psalm is not to give us lectures on biblical history, although they may inform them. The Psalms help us feel like what it is to struggle with only our faith for comfort. The psalmist went to great lengths to make us feel as they felt, so that we might experience a glimpse of God's mercy on the other side of trouble. We don't have to have the skills of King David or Kurt Cobain to tell these stories. We just have to tell them honestly. The Psalms will help us articulate our story simply and honestly. So with that, I've got a really simple hope and prayer for you today. And that's that you're not afraid to cry out when you're disappointed, or ashamed to say when you're afraid, or too British to sing with happiness. And if you can't find the words, see if someone in this book can give you a hand. For those of you who are scared to shout out to the heavens, may you know that yours is not the only voice, and that your voice is welcome and it is necessary for your life and growth. For those of you who have been told that God is in control, but you doubt it in every fibre of your being, hear Jesus on the cross in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? He said in all his humanness. It's okay to shout your concern and your pain. It's okay to praise. It's okay to find your voice. You know, for some of you, you might have lost someone. Maybe still it breaks you. Don't mince your words, brothers and sisters. Let God have it both barrels. And just like all good dads, let him sit with you as you cry. You know, in all of our struggles, in all the things that we read in the Psalms, God doesn't always give an explanation. But I tell you what, in all of those and in our lives, he tells us that he wants us. He aches for us to know that he is with us in every aspect of our humanity. So I pray that for you this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. So let's set off into a week, perhaps with a renewed confidence in our relationship with God. Or perhaps you're at the beginning of your relationship with God, discovering God who loves you, is interested in you, interested in the detail of your situation and your life. If that's you, or perhaps if you're a guest here this morning, please stick around. Don't just log off your computer, but join this Zoom welcome chat room that's been set up, and it's going to be live in about 2 minutes' time, and the two mats are going to be there ready to engage and have a chat with you. The address for it, I think, should be on the screen now. So I just pray that you connect with us in that way. But to everybody, Have a blessed week. God be with you, and we'll see you next time. God bless.